Welcome to Conversations with Owens Community College President, Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Welcome to today's episode of the Conversations Podcast. I'm Dr. Dion D. Somerville. Thank you for listening today. Whether this is your first time with us or if you're a longtime follower, we're so happy that you're joining us as we explore the issues and meet the people who are important to Northwest Ohio and to Owens Community College. Thank you for listening today. Please enjoy our previous episodes and subscribe to Conversations to join us for future episodes. Mayor Neil McKinnon is a lifelong Rossford resident with deep family roots in the community. He attended both Defiance College and Bowling Green State University and built his career in the private sector, bringing business and operational experience into his public service. Since taking office in 2012, he has focused on thoughtful economic development, infrastructure investment, and strengthening Rossford's role as a regional hub for logistics and advanced manufacturing. His leadership has helped guide major projects while keeping community partnership at the center of the city's growth. Mayor McKinnon, thank you for joining us today. Mayor McKinnon, thank you so much for being on the Conversations podcast. It's a pleasure to finally have you.
Thank you so much. I always enjoy running into you, and I think you do a fantastic job here. So we appreciate it in Rossford, and I'm sure the entire region does.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We have a fantastic team at Owens. And as you know, the good work that's meaningful to get done takes an entire team to get moving. So we're excited for that.
It's the secret to the sauce. No matter how good you are, how connected you are, how talented, it's just like a football team. It's all won and lost on the field, and it takes a team.
Every time we talk about Rossford and the city's success, one of the things that you always talk about is how you have a great team and how you're always very modest and talk about how other people are doing so many good things in Rossford. And so can you talk a little bit about the secret to Rossford's success?
My department heads are fantastic. Allison Murray, our city administrator, I'd put her up against anybody in the state. The leadership of our fire department, led by Chief Soroka, same thing, just absolutely amazing. Our police chief, Todd Kitzler, they just don't get better than him. And the same goes with Toby Ledesma, our head of parks and recreation, and Chris Kirk, head of finance, and Daryl Igo, who leads our public works. And all you have to do is drive through Rossford after a snowstorm, and you can tell how good those guys are and how hard they work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, Rossford is a fantastic community, and it's been home to your family for generations. And so what has it meant to you personally to be mayor of Rossford and to see the change in leadership for the community where you grew up?
I'm an unapologetic homer. You know, I love the city. I was born and raised there. My grandmother, my mom's mom, was one of five of the very first graduating class at Rossford High School. My mom's a 35-year retired school teacher. Both my mom and dad went to school there K through 12, and so did the rest of my family. So we were born wearing maroon and gray. So.
Well, Rossford is a fantastic city, but also, you know, fantastic school district. And so before becoming mayor, you had a career in business and community leadership. And so can you talk a little bit about your path from that through where you are now as mayor?
Yeah, it's really been a whirlwind, even though I've been at it for 14 years. Again, I decided to raise my family in Rossford, and at the time I had a very young family, and I happened to go to lunch at a diner in Rossford. And there was a neighbor and a friend by the name of Chuck Durchek, who was on city council, and Larry Oberdorf, who is actually still on Rossford City Council. He was my former government teacher and coach. And they had said to me, did you hear about Jim Richards, who at the time was having some health issues and resigned, and who a guy that I love and admired. And I said, no, is he okay? And they said, yeah, he's just having some problems. So he's resigning. And I didn't think anything about it because I was thinking about him. And they said, well, why don't you put your name in the hat? You know, I always wanted to give back. I always wanted to serve. But it just wasn't in my wheelhouse at the time. And I said, well, when do you need to know by? And they said, today at 4 o'clock.
Hopefully it was an early lunch and not a late lunch. At least got you another hour.
It wasn't noon, but it wasn't one. So so I had lunch and I thought about it. I went back to my office and I just kept thinking about it. And I had asked them, what do I need to do? And they said, you need a resume and a letter. So I got to the municipal building at about 3:15, 3:30. And I told the folks up front, I said, you know, my name's Neil. I'd like to put my name in for the vacant council seat. And can I borrow a pen and a piece of paper? By the way, my resume is not impressive because I've worked for my family my entire life. And the other jobs I had was like, I was a lifeguard. I cut grass. I mean, I worked for Nordman Roofing and Sheet Metal. So they gave me a notebook, piece of paper, the pen, and I just wrote, please consider I, Neil A. McKinnon III, for the vacant council seat. And I signed it. And they told me that I had to come back at 7 o'clock and that council would interview us. So I come back at 7. The place is packed. There were like, I think, a total of 8 or 9 of us going for one seat. And I had, you know, really good relationships with just about all, if not all, of the council members. But some of them probably just remembered me from high school, which could be good or bad. And we interviewed. I didn't think I did anything particularly special. Matter of fact, I know I didn't. So we're all out in the hall and they call us in. And Chuck Durchek made the motion to appoint me to the vacant council seat. And Mr. Oberdorf seconded it. And I won 6-0. So that night I became a rostered city council member. Now, shortly after that, I'm just talking a matter of months, Bill Vrbosky announced he was not going to run for re-election. So I came home and I told Camille, I go, I heard Bill's not running for re-election. And she goes, yeah, I know, his sister told me. And I go, why didn't you tell me? She goes, because I thought you might want to run for mayor and you've only been on council 3 or 4 months and you don't even know how to run a meeting. And I said, well, you're not wrong. What do you think? And she goes, you know, I think you'd be really good at it. So if you want to do it, you have my support. And I got my petitions pulled. I got my signatures and I ran. I knocked on every door twice. And I think I won by 100. I know I won by 184 votes. That I'll always remember that number. So it wasn't I didn't have a mandate. I didn't have a landslide. It wasn't a landslide. I barely got in.
184 is not insignificant.
Well, out of like 7,000.
It could have been like, you know, a lot smaller. So yeah.
So this is really embarrassing, but it's funny. So the next morning I get up, I'm going to work, and my neighbor, who's known me my entire life, I went to school with his kids and our parents were friends. He's out working in his yard. And he sees me come out, he's leaning on his shuffle, and he goes, you won. I go, yeah. He goes, how? So it was the first person to acknowledge me was my next-door neighbor. So that wasn't quite a vote of confidence.
I think there's something to be said for the level of humility that characterizes, in my opinion, not only you, but Rossford. You know, what I admire about the character of the community is that people are about hard work. They're about, you know, their work ethic. They're about, you know, grit, resilience, and really making sure that they take ownership of their lives and how to make not only their lives better, but their community better. You know, they're not prone to being boastful or, you know, opulent or things of that nature. It truly is, you know, a good community that cares about their neighbors and, you know, and they're able to joke with one another. And so, yeah. You know, I've always appreciated that. And you can feel that when you go into the Rossford community.
I hope he was joking. I'm not sure.
I bet you he was. But
again, I'm a homer. I'm so biased. It's ridiculous. But probably a small town guy, but with a worldwide view. Growing up in Rossford, to me, was like a Norman Rockwell painting. It was very diverse before people started talking about diversity. We're a blue-collar shot in a beer factory town. We're very dense. Everybody lives on top of each other. At the time when I was growing up, there were like 12 bars, 3 social clubs, a VFW, an Eagles, and an American Legion, and they all had people in them. The neighborhood I grew up in, I would call the middle. Then our school district, 2/3 of it is actually in Perrysburg Township, which is very rural, especially when I was growing up, and it was all agriculture. And then you had the Eagle Point Colony, where you had some of the wealthiest, most educated, and powerful and prominent members of all of Northwest Ohio. So when you went to kindergarten, you were just thrown in that bag, and they shook it up, and it was amazing. And I wanted that for my kids. Again, it was like a Norman Rockwell painting growing up.
And you talked a little bit about how Rossford, you know, has always been in the sense of community and how everyone is there together, regardless of your status or, you know, background, economics, things of that nature. How have you seen Rossford change over the last, you know, few decades?
My whole life until 12 years ago, the town was always getting older. I knew everybody that lived on my street, and I knew everybody that lived on the streets next to mine. You know, you just knew everybody. And if there's somebody you didn't know, you recognized them. You knew who they were. And back then, when houses sold, there was never a for sale sign in the front yard because it went to a neighbor or a cousin or a friend. So the town was always getting older. I had a lot of friends who actually had a grandparent living with them while growing up in Rossford. But for the past 12 years, it's getting younger and younger. And I actually love it. I love seeing that changing of the guard. I love seeing those young families. It's really cool.
One of the big things that has happened to Rossford or in Rossford's history is really some of the change in revenue, some of the changes in business and in industry. And in recent years, it really seems like it's been your vision to make Rossford a leader in economic development in Northwest Ohio. And since you've taken office, your general fund revenue is up more than 165%. And so congratulations. That didn't happen by accident. And so can you share some of the reasons behind that success that Rossford has had?
Yeah, I told you how I became mayor and the path that I took. But I was angry at the time. When I grew up there, we had a chip on our shoulder. You know, we were the smallest school in the NLL, but yet we beat the hell out of everybody. And if we didn't, we were at least competitive. We were a very, very wealthy school district because of LOF and our size. And we just had that chip. And I wanted to get that chip back. And you need resources. And the only way you get resources is by economic development. So I focused on industry and jobs and investment. Well, a lot of our neighbors, which I have friends and family in all those communities, they were kind of focusing on strip malls and apartment complexes and housing. Well, more people doesn't necessarily mean more money or more resources. It means you need more teachers, more classrooms, more streets to plow, more firemen, more policemen, more public works. So our vision and our mission and the model was to use our geography. You can't duplicate the interchange of I-75 and 80-90.
Right.
I-75 is the longest north-south highway in the country, and 80-90 is the longest east-west highway in the country, and they intersect in Rossford, Ohio. We also have a port. We have rail. We have three airports within 50 miles, and we have water. And we have energy. And water and energy is the big thing. Nobody's talking about it right now, but that is very, very huge. So I used our geography to retain and attract talent. And the other thing I did have going for me is I just had some really good relationships with people that could get me in front of the right people and in the right rooms. That's how it happened. Since then, we had the worst facilities. We were not retaining or attracting families. It was actually the opposite. So economic development, to get economic development and put us in a different league than everybody else, Northwest Ohio, but mostly Northern Wood County is, we're the only municipality that's a member of TARDO. We have public transit. So when I would go to Mark and I talked to these site selection guys, I'd say, by the way, we're a member of public transit. So if you live anywhere in Toledo or any community that TARDO services, you can get workers to and from. That put us up there at the top. But the other thing that put us at the top is speed to market. And the days of a developer coming in and buying 200 acres and developing it over 30 years, 40 years, it's over and it's been over. Fortune 500 companies, you got to have the zoning in place. You got to be in an area that they want to be, and you need to clear a path and make it the path of least resistance. So when I would have those meetings, I would bring in the port. I would bring in First Energy. I'd bring in Columbia Gas. I'd bring in Northwest Water and Sewer District. I'd bring in into the room to meet that client so they can ask any question they might have or voice any concern they might have. So when they left that meeting, they weren't talking to a bunch of goofy politicians. It was speed to market. Most people take the path of least resistance. And we were that. We still are that.
So you created a streamlined process to make economic development happen for the betterment of the city of Rossford.
Yeah, and it helps everybody. It helps all those other organizations. There's no red tape. There's no bureaucracy. There's no party affiliation. Rossford, the other thing we have is we're nonpartisan. And we live in the middle. Some folks lean to the right, some lean to the left. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to us. We get along. We work together. We stay in our lane. The only reason we ever get out of our lane is to help a teammate. I mean, that's just the culture we have.
So if we go back to the beginning of our conversation and we talk about your path from business to being in the mayor's office, you really undersold it.
Well, I had... Again, my family owns Nordman Roofing and Sheet Metal, and we're a commercial and industrial roofing and sheet metal company. So we put roofs on big buildings, new big buildings, old big buildings, and through those years doing that was a great networking opportunity. And it never fails. The president of Acme Corporation calls me at midnight and says their mother-in-law's having a leak at their house. Well, we'd go fix it. So now I'm really the only guy that's ever met his mother-in-law and has ever been in his mother-in-law's house. This is just like a hypothetical, but it happened 100 times. So now all of a sudden, I wouldn't say I'm part of the family, but I was there, you know. I helped in a time of need, and because of that, I think they appreciate us a little bit. So if they didn't take my call, they returned it.
That's always wonderful. Now, one of the other things you mentioned is that growing up, you were born wearing maroon and gray. And those are, of course, the colors of, you know, Rossford Schools and Rossford Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. And so we know that you very much value education, be it higher education as well as Rossford school system. But one of the things I would love to know is, how is it that you decided you needed higher education? What was that path like for you?
Well, it was a path that most people don't take. My mom, again, was an excellent school teacher. My grandmother was a doctorate at the University of Toledo. My dad was a college graduate. My brothers and my sister were excellent students. I was a C-minus student. Back then, things didn't get really diagnosed. Today, I would call it attention deficit disorder. According to my mom, she told me I had a very high IQ, but I underperformed in the classroom. And also, too, it was a pride thing for me. All my friends were going to college. I wanted to go to college. And I did. I went to Defiance for a year to play football, then transferred to Bowling Green. And then I took some time off to work for my family, which is the biggest mistake because I had already had 2 years under my belt. At our age, 2 years goes by in like 20 minutes. I should have finished. And then... But I started working for my family. I started doing pretty well, and I got busy. It wasn't a priority, and that was a mistake. So when I hear young people and, you know, my friends' kids say they're going to take a semester off, they're going to take a year off, I'm like, don't do it. Just maybe take a couple less classes, but just stay in the game, because before you know it, you'll finish and you'll have it. And nobody can take that away from you.
Well, and I think it goes to show that, you know, people can come from a variety of K-12 experiences and go into, you know, different phases of their lives, and it means different things to different people. And whatever it was that you gained from Defiance and from Bowling Green was meaningful to you in the way that you know, consumed it at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think a lot of times there's such a wide variety of people's life circumstances. There's some folks who, either for financial reasons or family or whatever, can't continue from term to term to term until completion. But to your point, there's a lot of folks who choose to and don't necessarily have a plan for that time or how they're going to get back in. And, you know, having disposable income sometimes to people, sure, you know, is a deterrent to going back to school.
That is, but I have no excuse. My family wasn't rich, but I didn't go without. I didn't have to pay for my own tuition, which most people do. And I still regret it to this day, and I'm a little embarrassed by it, to be quite honest.
No need to be embarrassed. You know that Owens is fantastic with adult learners. And so you will always have a home at Owens Community College.
I appreciate it. Matter of fact, I got the brochure yesterday in the mail. So what a coincidence.
Well, one of the things that you had mentioned was how Rossford has changed over the years. And you talked about facilities and how they're best in class. There's a relationship there between education, the K-12 Rossford School District, with the business and industry growth that Rossford has experienced. And so can you talk a little bit about the interrelatedness of
that? Yeah, we're a unicorn. You don't have to be a genius to be a decent mayor. You just have to research, you know, what cities are successful, what are they doing? What cities aren't successful, what are they doing or not doing? Rossford's demographics, and this is unheard of from the research I've done, half of our students are at or below the poverty line. So that means half of them either have a reduced or free lunch. But we lift people up. We don't have the social problems that come with people struggling. And it's something I'm very, very proud of. We're also very safe. So, you know, a single mom living in Rossford or East Toledo or wherever, she's sending her kids to Rossford because she wants to give them a better chance at fulfilling their dreams and keeping them safe every day. But the number one driver of economic development is your public education system and the community you live in. Again, retaining and attracting talent, it drives everything else. It also brings people together that might not normally be together. That's part of an education too, where you might be down the ladder a little bit, but you see people that are up the ladder and you go, you know what, I can get there. I'm just as smart as them. I'm just as tough, just as strong, and vice versa. You know, somebody that was born on third base and thinks they have it, you know, hit a triple, can look down and say, wow, you know, I better work harder because I don't want to be there. I don't want to have those struggles in my life.
It's pretty amazing the role that education plays. And, you know, that's something that you've been very much a proponent and supporter of education, be it, you know, K-12 or higher education. And so the superintendent of Rossford Schools has been one of our podcast guests. And he and I talk about how do we make sure that people have all the opportunities available to them so that they can have a fulfilling life and make those life choices. And it seems as though that's just really part of the fabric of the Rossford community.
Isn't he a rock star?
He's awesome.
I'm a little biased. I don't think it's not a secret in Rossford, but Dan Kreps and I and Dan Kreps' wife, Chris, we grew up on the same street.
I did not know that.
We were
He wasn't the neighbor who said something to you after. Okay.
we were childhood friends since kindergarten. Again, I remember when they were building their first house, they moved in with me while their house was being built. And, you know, when that superintendent position came up, I knew he was the only guy on planet Earth because we needed to pass levies. You know, we needed to convince the folks to invest in our education, because if you invest in the school district, you're investing in the city at the very same time. So Dan was chosen, and I think he's done an absolutely amazing job. And none of this that has happened would have happened without him, because you can't do this stuff by yourself.
No.
It's just, unless you can write a check and just make it happen. But, you know, we had less than no resources. It was all relationship-driven and geography-driven. And now, again, this isn't ego or arrogance, and I had almost nothing to do with it, but we went from having the worst facilities to having the very best. And we're still building more facilities and maintaining and upgrading the ones we have. And at the same time, we've lowered our millage the last three levies. $200 million worth of development, educational facilities, athletic facilities, and at the same time, lowering the cost and not going back out to the taxpayer. That is something I'm very proud of. And I don't know where else that is happening.
Well, you had mentioned earlier how Rossford as a community is becoming younger.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and with a lot of the business growth and development, Rossford is experiencing population growth as well. Like there's new communities that are growing and being built that's within your school district, at least. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of success there that, you know, to your point, you know, there's quality of life. There's lots of benefits to where if someone has a choice of what community do they want to live in, where their child can have great opportunities. There's a lot of that synergy that really seems to be happening in Rossford and is a big part of its success.
Yeah, so sometimes you just get lucky. Again, our geography, you can't duplicate it. And we're a day's drive from 75% of the population of North America, a day's drive. So, I mean, and when I don't take this wrong, you know, we're the epicenter of the United States. We're right in the middle. And it's hard to screw that up. We just needed people to find out who we were and where we were. But we have unbelievable geography, unbelievable assets. Here's something I know because I've had site selection people tell me that the number one challenge for a Fortune 500 CEO is the retention and attraction of talent. And when I heard a few of them tell me that separately, I'm like, wow, okay, maybe we were onto something because that's been our goal from day one. And millennials, younger people, they're very environmentally conscious. They're very health conscious, and they want amenities. They're outdoor enthusiasts. They'd rather be on a bus on their laptop than driving to work. You know, so instead of trying to change the market, we've been chasing it. Yeah, so it's We're in a really good place right now, and hopefully we'll be able to maintain that momentum.
One of the things that I know Rossford has done a lot is as you look at the marketplace and you look at trends, Amazon has been a big part of that.
They're huge.
And so Amazon has a fulfillment center, and then there's development surrounding that that has created significant and economic ripple effects for Rossford and the region overall. So from your perspective, what has that project meant for Rossford, and what lessons came from shepherding that through?
It started with Ed Harmon from the N.A. Harmon Group. Ed's local and a very, very dear friend. He's in 18 states, thousands of employees and millions of square feet. And my relationship with him started back in junior high school and high school because his number two guy, Dallas Paul, well, Ed's son, Jim, and Dallas's son, Jeff, were my nemesis at Perrysburg High School. Those were the guys I was competing against. So I stumbled into becoming the mayor of Rossford, and I thought I had a pretty good Rolodex, but they were the first two guys I called. Once Ed Harmon planted his flag there, then Duke brought Amazon. And since then, as we speak right now, the top five industrial REITs in the country have boots on the ground from Lima all the way up to Northern Wood County. They're all here. They're all looking at sites. And it's a very, very exciting time. And since Amazon built their first facility, they've built the one over there, the former Southwick Mall site. And now they're on their fourth facility total. Over there, right over here at Oregon Road. And all of those, the three of them, not the one obviously in Toledo, they are in the Rossford School District. And they're a great partner and neighbor to have.
Absolutely. Well, it's been amazing to watch and to see because, you know, not only are the facilities themselves immense, but, you know, what Amazon does for communities in terms of revenue, what it does for employment and having workforce. You had mentioned public transportation mm-hmm. and TARDA and how that is a huge player. There's just a lot of things that come from that kind of economic development and growth. And so as we think of our partnerships, you know, we're one of the educational providers for Amazon. We obviously partner with Rossford Schools. Can you tell me a little more about how those educational partnerships were important? Because we've been privileged by being partners educationally with the city of Rossford and the things you're looking at. So why is that important?
Yeah, I hope this doesn't upset you, but I use Owens Community College every time I'm in front of somebody. Because I, well,
that would never upset me.
No, but I'm just saying, I might even hint that it might even be in the city of Rossard, even though it's even though it's not. Again, when I talk about Epicenter, you know, we have the largest vocational school in all of Northwest Ohio. I think it's 17 school districts. If I'm wrong, you won't hurt my feelings. And then we have the largest and most accomplished junior college in Northwest Ohio. And right in between those is our elementary and middle school campus and our high school. So we're closer geographically and culturally because, you know, you guys are friends and, you know, there's a lot of people here that we know. And it's things that I can use. They're tools in my toolbox that I can use to attract and entice people to look at building their businesses, their companies in Rossford, Ohio, because of the educational assets. Not to mention, we're pretty much in the middle of Bowling Green State University and Toledo. And Binley's not that far away. You know, it's that 40 minutes, maybe. So we have a lot to show people and to offer people. I mean, you can have one family member going to Bowling Green, one going to Owens, and one going to Toledo, and one going to Pena County. I mean, it's all at the same time. Yeah, so that's, you know, where else do you get that? I'm sure there's places, but I don't know where you get that.
We have a great educational ecosystem in the region.
Oh, for sure.
And by having all of it and to your point, the variety of, you know, because you have those, you have Lourdes, you have, you know, the schools that are just across the border in Michigan. You have so many options for people. We really are privileged that way.
And also entertainment-wise, we're the closest municipality in Main Street to downtown Toledo and everything going on down there. The zoo is directly across the street from Rossford, and obviously the museums downtown and the Huntington Center, the warehouse district, and the casinos at our doorstep. Boy, talk about a great corporate partner and friend. It might be in Toledo and Lucas County, but they identify with Rossford. Their whole executive team hangs out in Rossford. They're friends.
There's a lot that's going on when you get off on that exit on I-75 in terms of options and opportunities and everything that's happening there. As we look at some of those employers and how they've been expanding in Northwest Ohio, a lot of it has been advanced manufacturing, logistics, skilled trades, the glass industry in particular. You talked about workforce and how you've known for a long time and then others have continued to validate that workforce is hugely important and how that's related to education. How does Rossford keep that in the forefront?
When I go to market or when I'm talking to a young person, I tell them, and it's the truth, I go, there's a scholarship out there that you don't even know about that'll pay for your entire education. They're like, well, what's that? I go work at Amazon. After 2 weeks, you get full medical benefits. They will do tuition reimbursement. They'll send you to job training, even if it's welding, and you'll never use that skill while working at Amazon, and you immediately start with a 401k. And by the way, they're not writing a check. They're giving you Amazon stock. Even if it takes you 6 years, go down the street and sign up, and there's your schooling. And they're not the only company that's doing that. But workforce development is also very important for the corporation, because whatever that corporation does or makes or sells or distributes, they need talented, hardworking people as part of their team. So that's another reason why industry, education, and government can work together without goofy politics and that stuff we see on TV today. Look, at the end of the day, everybody wants to be healthy and happy and have a chance to realize their dreams. All that other stuff is just noise.
Absolutely. And so one of the neat things about Rossford as a person who visits is the downtown area. Can you talk a little bit about what that revitalization has meant for the community and for its sense of pride?
Yeah. Like I said earlier in the interview, you know, we had like 12 bars/restaurants, two or three social clubs, a BFW and Eagles and an American Legion. There were people in all of them 7 days a week, but we had 7,000 people working three shifts in downtown Toledo. And then we hit that rough patch, the big recession, you know, in the 70s, and we had plants move to North Carolina and things like that. Not just LOF, but, you know, all our big industry in town. And now we've pivoted, we've adapted, we're going in different directions. And I knew I couldn't redevelop our downtown because we didn't have the resources. So I knew I had to start at the south end of town, the crossroads, and build up our industry that will then turn around and give us the resources to throw into our community and into our downtown. Moe's, Red's, Amerasia, Cinco, they're all doing great. And Danny's is just a destination now. People bring it up to me all the time, wherever I am. You know, have you been to Danny's? Or I was at Danny's. And you know, I wish I had 100 Brad Morrisons, you know, because he's that guy. I'm in him every day. Ever since I gave my office away to our new fire chief, I don't have an office. So it's usually in the back of Moe's place or over at Red's or Cinco or upstairs at Danny's. Plus, I also have a motive behind that. When I meet with people, I want them to come to Rossford because I want them to see it and get interested in it. And most importantly, I want them to come back, and I want them to tell their friends about it. Yeah, so we're having fun. And the high school's right there, and you can hear the band on a Friday night practicing before they go down to the field. It's awesome.
It is a good community. Now, you had mentioned Libby Owens Ford, right?
Yes.
And so that's part of the history for how Rossford got its name, right?
It is Rossford. The plant came first. The town was built around the plant, mostly by the founder of the plant, Edward Ford. A lot of Eastern Europeans. We had, in a town of about 2,500, we had three Catholic churches. And the reason why was the language barrier for Mass. So it's just a wonderful place. Very, very diverse. A lot of different cultures, you know, meshing together. But the reason for the city of Rossford, the only reason for our existence, is Libby Owens Ford, which is now Nippon Sheet Glass. That's the other thing, too, about us. It's in our DNA. You can see the plant from every house in town, pretty much. So big booms and smokestacks, it doesn't bother us. We're a factory town, mm-hmm. and I think it's awesome.
It is a wonderful place.
Yeah.
It truly is. What are you most excited for in Rossford's future?
I think that we've been very blessed. The people that I've been fortunate to be around, you know, Rex Hoffman from the Wood County Port Authority and Northwest Water and Sewer and the Wood County Economic Development Corporation. And then the guys that I really treasure the most and a lot is Kevin Heben, our law director, and Kent Murphy. They're part of my kitchen cabinet, and they do an amazing job. You know, this is going to sound kind of corny, but I'm not embarrassed by it. I was chasing a feeling that I only had once in my life, and that was being a part of my high school football team. And I know people are probably rolling their eyes right now, but, you know, to be a part of a team and to have that brotherhood and that competitive nature and everybody's pulling for each other, you know, I lost that after I left athletics. And I had the greatest family and the greatest friends you could ever ask for, but I missed that feeling, and I got that back when I became the mayor of Rossford, because the people around us are just fantastic, and I always think, well, what have I done to deserve these people?
Well, it's not corny at all, because I think one of the things that people don't understand about athletics is you have an opportunity to really learn and practice interdependence, and you're all working together for something that's larger than yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's the perfect way to put it. You're a part of something larger than yourself. And when you do it, nobody can take that away from you. And it just, it's in my DNA. I mean, I love that feeling. I love being a part of it and being a part of something bigger than myself.
Well, Rossford is doing wonderful things. We're really proud to be one of your neighbors and one of the partners that you call upon, regardless of where our actual address is. So we're very grateful to you for your leadership and for all of our partners throughout the city of Rossford.
Mayor McKinnon, thank you so much for being with us today. We're so grateful to you for your hard work and leadership and for your efforts on behalf of Northwest Ohio. Thank you for your support and for your time today. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please remember to subscribe and join us for future conversations. Until next time, take care.